Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the back roads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 54, Arts and Crafts. Once upon a time, interesting pots were made until somebody in the 19th century turned out the lights. And when the lights came back on, it was suddenly today filled with wild, creative work. This notion all too often sours appreciation of late 19th century factory-made wares. Industrialization is generally blamed for this lights-out period. The factory system certainly suppressed individual potters' markets, and what began as a Wild West explosion of techniques and styles certainly devolved into rote mass production by century's end. But then what? Did industrialization just stop? Toward the late 19th century, the arts and crafts movement tried to instill a more humane sensibility back into an ossified industrial design process, and into the industrial system as a whole, while at the same time reinvigorating individualized studio practices. Around this time, manufacturers hired people like Taxol Doet, Thomas Allen, and others to experiment with glazes and forming techniques. These folks took full advantage of all the resources that a large, well-stocked industry could provide. A curious thing about their resumes was how often they floated between firms. The Mint and Sèvres revolving door was particularly active, with Wedgwood headhunters lurking in the wings. These individuals considered themselves as free agents first and foremost, potters in their own right. And here we come to the crux of the matter. Factory-sponsored explorations energized artisan potters more than any other effort of the time. All that complex new glaze chemistry, all those new commercially available materials, all that new equipment. Add to this all those new studio art education programs and the enduring legacy of the movement's English studio pottery aesthetic. All this was now, more or less, available to artisan potters, just as an organized labor and Model T-infused middle class became voraciously interested in regional artistic heritage. Potters such as Mary Louise McLaughlin, Maria Longworth Nichols, and Adelaide Alsop Robineau took the baton and ran with it. What became known as art pottery culminated the arts and crafts era, and really the entire Industrial Revolution, at least the ceramics part of it. The lights were on. Modern ceramic arts were born. The moral of this highly condensed pottery history tale is this. Don't let aesthetic bias bind you to what's going on under the surface. Fussy, frivolous, late 19th century factory-made pottery heralded the infrastructure underpinning practically everything made by ceramic artists since then. Scanning the ceramic spectrum today, it is astonishing the extent to which the grandiose arts and crafts project, begun with such fevered idealism, actually succeeded. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that, as William Faulkner once said, the past isn't dead. It isn't even past.